apologize for the flickering screen. We are going to see if we can make that a little bit better. Let's go ahead and flip through the slides that we have. And if you will try to bear in mind the slides after we get through those, I will reference those, but I'll turn off the monitors. Hopefully that will be a little bit easier on the eyes. We've already seen the information as far as the song. We have gone through that hymn. We're also, as we just heard from the scripture reading from Exodus chapter 1, 21, going to be talking about an awl. And if you go back and you look at what the Hebrews probably were using as far as an awl, these would be Egyptian awls from about that same period. So if you can keep this picture in mind, that would be helpful. Our next slide, as far as what was taking place in Deuteronomy chapter 21, or Exodus 21, Deuteronomy chapter 15, may have been something like this. The master would have taken the slave that wanted to stay with him, takes him to either the door, or takes him to a wooden post, and then, of course, that all goes through the ear. Next slide, again, we'll come back to the song and some of the special words there. We'll also be introducing some information from Psalm 40, Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8, and then we will be highlighting some of the words. And then we're going to be asking three questions: why a piercing, why a door or a doorpost, and then we're going to come back to the song. So right now, for ease in the eyes, we'll go ahead and turn the monitors off, and then when it comes time for the invitation song, turn those back on so we can see things. If you are normally with us on Sunday nights, we've been going through the book of Exodus. We are in Exodus chapter 21 now. Today, because of where we are, I wanted to flip around the sermons to take the morning sermon now and make that the evening sermon and so forth. So we will be looking at the evening sermon in the AM, the AM material in the evening sermon. Ask Michael to read down through verse 5 in Exodus chapter 21. He did a fine job with that. Let's now pick up with Exodus 21 and verse 6, because this is the key point relative to today's material. Then, the text says, then his master, the man, has said, I want to stay with you, I don't want to leave. Then shall his master bring him unto God, and shall bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, like we saw just a few moments ago. And he shall serve him forever. Of course, the Hebrews had probably seen awls used in a lot of different ways since they had spent such an extended period of time in Egypt. And one of the tools that they surely saw was that awl. If you were to look at the parallel account in Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse 17, the word thrust is actually used in the parallel account. God said, when you take the servant and you have him against, have his ear against the wooden door, or you have the ear against that post, you thrust that awl through his ear. And as you think about that, you can compare that with some of the piercings in our day and time. When people hear this song, when they sing the song that we went through just a few minutes ago, I think that they love the song. It's a song that a lot of people, I can't wait to sing that song again. But some songs have some background. And in this particular case, the background is Exodus chapter 21 and Deuteronomy chapter 15. It's not uncommon for people who get some type of piercing to ask some questions. Now, I don't personally have any personal experience with piercing, but I did do some checking as far as some of the questions that people sometimes ask. If a person is going in for piercing, perhaps for the first time, one of the most common questions is, will it hurt? Is this going to cause me pain? Other people ask about healing time. If I get some part of my body pierced, how long is it going to take for me to heal? There's some people who ask about numbing. If I'm going to have a particularly sensitive part of my body pierced, will you be able to numb that part of my body? It's also commonly asked about infections. Will this run the risk of infection? But when you look at Exodus chapter 21, this slave that was going to have that awl run through his ear to show that he was not going to leave his master, you don't find any of those kinds of questions being asked. Now, maybe the awl was rubbed off on the pants, or maybe there was a rag, but that was it as far as probably sanitation. When we start thinking about the hymn and trying to really focus on the words, we begin to find some significant information. We begin, for example, to think about some commitment. Go back to one of those lines. You remember, I am here to stay. Now, that's not what we find in Exodus 21 and Deuteronomy chapter 15, but it is what we find when we think about the words of that hymn. I am here to stay. That's what that slave was saying. The slave, when the person had his ears pierced, or the ear pierced, he was saying, I'm not going to go away. As we think about life, there are some people who sometimes they get disinterested. Sometimes they're bored. Sometimes you find a person who doesn't want to work. There may be cases where a person falters in their love. There are other instances where a person simply quits. But when that awl went through that servant's ear, that servant was saying, I surrender my life. I'm giving up my life to serve you. Not only am I going to serve you, I'm going to serve you today. I'm going to serve you tomorrow. I'm going to serve you next week, next month, next year, for all my days. The text actually uses the word forever. Think about that and compare it to the Christian life. There's some people who, as they think about serving God, they say, well, I'll serve him for a week, a day, 6 months, maybe a year. Then there's some people who move beyond that. Perhaps they will serve God for a decade. Maybe some serve him for a dozen years. But when we think about being a servant of God, that is not just a choice for this life, but that is an eternal choice. Think once again about those words from that simple song that we sang. A free man I will never be. That's what we're saying when we talk about becoming a Christian and living the Christian life. That simple but great commitment is expressed. Our life is no longer our own. Jesus Christ becomes our Lord, our Master, and our God. God's will becomes our will. Our desires need to be brought into conformance with God's will and desires. I think there are, especially now, there's some people who, when they look at Christianity, they think it's, well, it's nothing more than really coming to services. No. When we think about Christ, attendance should be something that's automatic. If we are a Christian and God's people are meeting, where do we think that we as a slave should be? Our time is not our own. Now, somebody says, well, I understand that, and all that information is not all that new. Let's go back to the information that we highlighted earlier, Exodus 21 and Psalm 40, and see if we can pull out some additional details. If you were to look at Psalm 40, and especially taking a look at the information in verses 6 through 8, you'd find some information there which is so important. It's also mentioned in the New Testament. It's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 7. If you were to look at the counterpart in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 7, you'd find that the Hebrew writer is specifically talking about Jesus. And there's a connection between Jesus, Hebrews 10, and what we find in Psalm 40 and in Exodus chapter 21. As you go back to Psalm 40, you find that the writer said, sacrifice and offering thou hast no delight in. Mine ears thou hast opened. Well, that, of course, had some application to the psalmist. But when you think about those words, my ears you have opened. Might there be a connection between that and Exodus chapter 21? There is. But with Jesus, it goes even more deeply. If you were to look at this passage, Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8, in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 7, it goes beyond the ear. In Hebrews 10, I believe it's verse 5, the writer, in talking about Jesus, says the Lord actually had a body that was prepared for him. The servant just had the ear pierced. But when it came to Jesus, he had a body prepared. And the Hebrew writer explains why that body was prepared. That body was prepared so Jesus would be able to come and do the will of the Father. The servant had his ear pierced to symbolize or represent complete dedication. But Jesus went that far. Plus, he came to fully carry out the will of the Father. Now, I don't know that there's any evidence that Jesus actually had his ear pierced. But Jesus was like that slave in Exodus chapter 21. He was fully committed to the Father, wanting to do everything that was consistent with the Father's demands. All right, let's go back to the information that we've got in Exodus chapter 21 and think about some of the questions there. Our first question, and you saw this on the slide earlier, was why a piercing? God could have talked about slaves and their commitment in a lot of different ways. Why did God say that a slave needed to have the person's ear pierced or punctured? Well, think about what's taking place. You have human flesh, and that human flesh is being pierced. If you pierce human flesh, what generally happens? Well, somebody says, I've had that happen to me, and blood has come out. Start putting the pieces together. A piercing, human flesh, against wood. Sound a little familiar? It sounds a little bit like Jesus and the cross. Ultimately, when you look at Exodus chapter 21, and you see that slave who said, I want to do your will for all my days, and I come with my body, I'm willing to put my ear against the wood and to have my ear pierced. Ultimately, that gives us a picture of who and what Jesus Christ was. Along with the piercing, along with the wood, along with the blood, along with the obedience, we find something else. If you're going to be that servant, and you're willing to have that all go through your ear, and remember Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse 17, it was thrust through the ear. This was not going to be the most pleasant experience in the world. If you were going to be a servant, this was perhaps going to represent the start of a very difficult life. If you were going to have that experience, would not your body be marked? It would. Very possibly, since that was thrust through the ear, not a nice, clean piercing like we have today, it would be marked. You may be old enough to remember a fad. I suspect this goes back to about 30 years. Personal engravers, those engravers that you could use to put your name on. About 30 years ago, there were some people who were putting their social security number on various things. And they thought, I want to show ownership of this or that. It's important to me. So that they got out their engraver and they just started going through the house. And they started putting their name or their social security number on all kinds of things. In Scripture, we also read about a mark. Those slaves, Exodus 21, wore the mark. Other slaves in ancient cultures wore a mark. Even people who served in the military were sometimes marked men today. We find, do we not, that sometimes people mark themselves when it comes to a certain group? It might be that you have a gang member, and they mark themselves. They mark their bodies in some way to show that they're part of the group. You might find that members of the military, perhaps an elite unit, they all get a special tattoo. They also decide that they're going to get a mark which represents their unit or their group. Similar things true in Scripture. When we look at the Galatian letter, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 17, in that last chapter, Paul said, I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. Paul was essentially saying, my body has been branded through the sufferings for Jesus Christ. All right, if we think about that man in Exodus 21, that slave, and we think about Paul in Galatians chapter 6, is it also the case that we find some marks when it comes to Jesus? We do. Think about what we probably know so well from the book of John, John chapter 20. John 20 tells us that Jesus showed up on a Sunday to see his disciples, and Thomas was absent. The disciples that were there, minus Thomas, believed that Jesus really had been raised from the dead. But Thomas, after he was told about that appearance, he said, I don't believe. Thomas said, I need to see Jesus for myself. He says, John chapter 20 and verse 25, I need to see the print of the nails in his hands. I want to see the mark. And that same verse says, I also need to be able to put my hand into the side of Jesus. I will not believe unless I see the mark. That was a position Thomas took. A week later, the next Sunday comes. And on that next first day of the week, Jesus once again comes to this same group of believers. And Jesus on that occasion, John chapter 20 and verse 27, speaks directly to Thomas. He knew what Thomas wanted. And Jesus said to this man, he said, check out my hands. You can see the print of the nails. The mark is there. The mark of the slave. Exodus 21 and Deuteronomy 15. Jesus said, I've been marked. You can see the signs of my dedication. Paul, Galatians 6:17, was a marked man. Jesus' body showed proof of the brutal treatment associated with his death. That background information then brings us to this practical question. Is my body, if I'm a Christian, also marked for my service to Jesus Christ? A lot of people have a tattoo. A lot of people have a piercing. And perhaps as you deal with people and you interact with people, they'll say, let me show you my tattoo. Let me show you my piercing. I like it so much. I paid a lot of money for this. You know what the Bible says? The only mark that really matters is being a slave for Christ. Is our body marked? As we look at the details in Exodus 21 and Deuteronomy chapter 15, we also read about a door or a post that would. Now, is that a random statement? Did God just include that information about the wood as far as the door or the post because he was taking up a little space? No. Remember how from the book of John, John chapter 10, Jesus is referred to as a door? And as we think about Scripture, you remember how when we think about the doorposts, when it came time for the Hebrew people to leave Egyptian bondage, that there was the blood that was put on those doorposts? Jesus' marks were associated with blood. He marked the cross. And as Tim mentioned, as far as the comments made around the Lord's table, very likely there was some blood that was pooled around that wooden cross. The blood of Jesus was shed on wood and likely around the cross. The blood of that committed slave, Exodus 21, and Deuteronomy chapter 15, was also likely on that post or on that door, and very likely at the bottom as well. It's one thing to serve, But you know, it's another thing to have a commitment to offer the kind of service where blood is drawn. That servant back there in Exodus chapter 21 was willing to have the ear pierced. He did that of his own free will. He said to his master, "This is something that I want to do." In a similar way, Jesus willingly went to the cross. I can't help but wonder as I think about some of the first century preaching, as Paul and Peter and other Jews who had been converted to Christ went into the synagogues. Were there perhaps times where Paul was asked to present a lesson and he said, "Let's take the scroll. Let's go back to the book of Exodus. And let's talk about the slave from Exodus 21, verses 1 through 5. And then perhaps Paul came down to verse 6 and said, "You remember that additional detail? He wanted to be a slave for life, that great obedience." He said, "I want to tell you how Exodus 21 was ultimately fulfilled, and that was through Jesus Christ." We know that was the kind of teaching that they did. We remember Philip, Acts chapter 8, he began with Isaiah 53 to preach Jesus. The piercing in the wood in Exodus 21 reached far beyond what a lot of people see when they read those verses or sing the song. Well, the third question that we had after why a piercing and why use the door, why use the doorpost, is why pierce the ear? Couldn't God have pierced some other part of the body on the slave? Well, sure. He could have said, "Take the awl to all kinds of places in the body." But there's a reason that the ear was chosen. As you look at Scripture and you see what the Bible says about the hands, generally or oftentimes the hands are associated with our deeds, what we do. God could have said, "Pierce the foot," but he didn't do that. Why not? Well, maybe the reason for that is because when we look at Scripture, oftentimes our feet are joined with how we walk. But when we look at the ear, and what the ear is associated with in Scripture, the ear is often joined with the idea of hearing and doing the will of someone. And that's what that slave was pledging. "I want to hear what you, the master, have to say, and after I hear what you have to say, I want to obey." There are some people, as we look at life, they have hands which are very religious. They're helping the poor, and they're doing all kinds of great things. There are some people who are religious, and their feet walk in all kinds of ways to do what we would think of as some good things. But those people who have nice hands and nice feet, oftentimes they have bad ears. It's not enough just to be religious. It's not enough to be religious and do some good things. We need to have an ear that's pierced. And that pierced ear means that we have come to Christ in full obedience and we have said, "Jesus, our life is yours. We submit to you as your humble servants." Piercing the ear ultimately describes an ongoing willingness to hear and obey the gospel of Christ. But for some people, that's simply too much. "God, you're asking too much, and I will not go that far." If we're not willing to have the ear pierced, figuratively speaking, we reject the narrow road, and we will be lost. That's the bottom line. Brian said that we're going to go back and look at that song again, and we are. It's a short song, doesn't take long to sing, but as we do, go back and look at the song again. Think carefully if you're not generally in the habit of listening to the invitation song, if you're not carefully thinking about the words of the invitation song this time. Do things a little differently. Look at the words, and let's make sure that they are true in our lives. We've had our ear pierced because we believed in Christ. We've repented of our sins. We've confessed that He is the Son of God. We've been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. And every single day, we say to God, "My life is not mine. It belongs to you. And God, we pledge, we seek to honor you to the best of our ability because we have had our ear pierced." Is your ear pierced? That's the question that we're asking each one to answer as we stand and sing the selected song.
Your door this day, I will serve no other God. Lord, I'm here to stay, for you have paid the price for me. With your blood you ransomed me. I will serve you eternally. A free man I'll never be. my ear, O Lord my God. Take me to your door this day. I will serve no other God. Lord, I'm here to stay.
Do you see it, please?
Back a portion, actually a small portion of the things that God has provided to us, and in this case monetary. But when you think about all the things that God has given to us, it goes way beyond my first thing that comes to my mind is my children and my grandchildren. And I know that you feel the same about yours as I do mine. We all feel that our kids are the best there is. Our grandkids are just the best. And they are. They're the best because they're the gift that God gave to us. We have good friends. We have this building to assemble in. And even though it's a nice, commodious building, I mention the building because God has given us a place where we can come and learn about Him, sing to Him, talk to Him. And some of the monies that we give help support missionaries, to help support other congregations so that others can have the same thing that we have, so that we can help to teach them the Scriptures so that they and us might all be able to go to heaven and live with God someday. As we give this morning, we should give as the Scriptures tell us, in a cheerful manner, always looking to do better when we can, always thankful for those things that God has given to us, and the ability that we have to share with others. So as we give this morning, we might mull all these things over in our minds and just try to do the things in our giving, whether it's money or our time, our possessions, the things that would please God. Let's give thanks for this opportunity. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for all that you give to us, things that you've given to us to make our lives better, more comfortable. But we're so much more thankful that you loved us enough to send your Son to die a cruel, cruel death as a ransom to pay for our sins. We pray that as we're giving this morning, we're giving in a manner that's pleasing to thee, always respectful of thee, and of Jesus. In his name we pray.
We're close today. One more time, right? The girls, last week's girls have been meeting right after her closing prayer. And also 5:30 when we meet for Bible news. Yeah, this is the set of access questions. If you anyone is interested for participating in Bible Boost or for your personal study, let me know. We have about a dozen of those left, and I'd be happy to print more if we need to. Let's stand together. We'll sing number 599. We're going to have our closing prayer. 599.
Oh, how sweet will you meet the Lord when he comes in glory by and by. What a song of praise will be out for when he comes in glory by and by.
Study from your word, and that we can learn from your word. We're thankful for the message that was brought to us this morning. And let us ever be thankful for your Son and our Savior. For without his death on the cross, there would be no hope. Father, we're so thankful for that hope. Thankful for the love that you had for each and every one of us. We're thankful for the peace that that brings us to those who have gone before us. God, we thank you for the freedom that we have, that we can worship you here in this place and in this country. We pray that you protect those who protect that freedom. Be with each and every one of them. God, we also ask that you be with those who could not attend this morning, whether they're traveling or sick. Pray that you be with them and give those who are sick the comfort they need. And we ask for safety for those who are traveling. Thank you, God, for your word. We ask that each and every one of us study that word daily, that we can also share that with others. We thank you, God, for every blessing. We ask that you be with us through the remainder of this day. Forgive each and every one of us. It's through your Son's name that we pray and ask it all. Amen.